Lord God, open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts, that we may hear and receive your word. Amen. Every year, on the second Sunday in Advent, we hear some version of the basic story, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his pathway straight." Now, Mark has a specific tone of voice. His writing style is quick-paced, almost frantic. As Mary mentioned last week, the Gospel of Mark was written about 70 CE, after the crushing loss of the temple in Jerusalem. The people needed to know about Jesus and all that he stood for. When I think of Jesus, as Mark describes him, it's like Jesus is a superhero. Jesus, man of action. He goes here, he goes there, very fast. Because Mark is eager to make his announcement so much that he skips the birth of Christ, the entire nativity story. He skips creation. He wants to get right to the point. I think mainly because his audience at the time was hurting. So he opens with the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I think that pretty much sets the tone for his gospel. Now, Mark's version of the story draws directly on the readings in Isaiah, a prophet, a prophecy that his audience would have known very well. "See, I am sending you a messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." Then John the Baptist, a voice crying out in the wilderness, instantly closes the gap, a 5,000 year gap between Isaiah and Jesus. John is essentially the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. While preparing this sermon, words from the musical Godspell kept on playing in my head. This summer, children from Shrinemont Camp put on a musical here at Holy Comforter. And as I was writing, I kept on hearing, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," over and over in my head. Quite distracting. Meanwhile, however, you're well aware that the Christmas season demands a lot of preparation. Preparation for the holidays at home, preparation at church. At work, the year is coming to an end and everyone wants their projects completed. We have a firm date. We must have all of our work done by that time. I'm a big list maker. I have daily lists, I have weekly lists, I have short-term goals, I have long-term goals, and all of those lists help me prepare and to get my work done on time. I can tell you that my lists are very long this time of year. Very long, and I'm feeling a lot of pressure to get everything done on time. I'm sure you have a list of things to do to prepare for Christmas as well. Some might include buying gifts, sending out Christmas cards, making cookies, decorating your house, preparing to go on trips and to visit people. At church, we're making preparations as well. The choir is practicing. Parents and children will be practicing for the pageant. Decorations are prepared and hung, like our beautiful Advent wreath. And soon the altar will be awash with red poinsettias. Preparations for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day celebrations are being formulated. We have so much to do in only 16 days to do it. No pressure on you, folks. Only 16 days and it all has to be done. Not to mention that we're hosting Caritas. And you'll notice that there are many open slots on my rota, which has not been helping my blood pressure at all. Now, I think one benefit of the readings for the second Sunday of Advent is that it reminds us that it's not about Christmas cards or decorations or Christmas parties or prepare, but it is about preparing our hearts and our souls for Christ. I have to ask myself, when I'm doing all of these things, does it help me, help us, find God? When decorating our homes and practicing for the pageant or volunteering for Caritas, does this enable us to find God? I can tell you this week, I was not able to find God in my work. But why? Mainly because I wasn't looking for God. Possibly the things that I've been doing preparing for Christmas have become a bit of a chore, an annual ritual of things that we've always done. And maybe over the years, some of these things have become a little meaningless. And that's why for Advent 2, it is so important for us to refocus our attentions on what is important. Mark reminds us of the message of John the Baptist and Jesus. Listen to the difference. John the Baptist said, "Repent, turn away from your sins, and be baptized, and God will forgive you." Later on in Mark, Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is near, and believe in the good news." The differences are clear. Jesus announces the good news that the kingdom of God has been brought near. John has a different message. He taught that if we fall down on our knees before God and ask for forgiveness and be baptized, God would forgive us. Very different messages, but there's one similarity. Both John and Jesus taught that if we want to find God, the first thing we must do is turn away from our sins. Turn away from our sins and maybe meaningless activities and chores. Well, because they're meaningless. But Jesus' message is more than repent. He calls us to believe in the good news, to look for God in all that we do, in all that is around us. Yesterday morning, the stress of preparations for Christmas in Caritas had really gotten to me. We were driving around town, food shopping, gift shopping, and picking up more supplies at Lowe's so that I could finish my project that I in the kitchen that I had promised that it would be done by Christmas. Another firm date. And I didn't notice the trees. I didn't notice the beautiful snow covering the fields. I didn't notice the snowflakes. I love that stuff. Now, Southerners may not understand this, but I'm from the North. I absolutely love snow. And I didn't even notice the beauty of it. I didn't appreciate God's handiwork. I did not notice it until I spoke to one of you on the phone. I was frantically making phone calls, trying to organize things, find volunteers, until I was told not to worry. It's HOCO. It's a good thing that we're doing. It's a life-changing thing that we're doing. It will be okay. And soon that feeling of burden and that feeling that it was a chore slowly lifted. And I stopped making phone calls and I continued working on the kitchen. And with every tile that I set, I thought to myself, "Thank you, God, for this work. I'm blessed to have this work and this home and the ability to do a project that will make my wife happy." I knew that it would be okay. I remembered the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God is here with me, working in the kitchen. And I went outside and I looked around and I saw God's handiwork because He was outside too. Now don't get me wrong, my to-do list didn't magically disappear. I still have tons of work to do, but it'll be okay. This Advent, please think about the good news. As you make your preparations, look for God every day in all that you do. She is everywhere. Take some time out of your day and from your preparations for Christmas and spend some time with God. Listen to God. Talk to God. And if you see someone you know running around with their hair on fire, stop them. Let them know that it will be okay. We have an obligation to each other to do that. If we don't prepare our hearts for the good news in the birth of Christ into this world, we will be unable to see past the gloomy darkness of despair and stress. If we don't look for the light of God, if we keep our eyes closed, we will never see the light, even though it's shining upon us. Oh yeah, I remembered an old saying after that phone call yesterday afternoon. It's something that's got me through a lot of stressful times in my life. It will all be okay in the end. And if it's not okay, it's not the end. Amen.